Today I am presenting a special program of Polish music titled Polish Music Beyond Chopin and Gorecki. And we'll be featuring, and in fact we are doing that right now, a special live 2.5 hour visit by Polish composer Jakub Czupiński, whose music we listen to right now.
Thank you.
You were just listening to The Architect's Brother by my guest Jakub Chupinski. In our performance, you heard harpist Rachel Brandwein and cellist Eugene Lifshitz. Marko Pavlovich performed on Celesta, and our pianist was Vasilis Varvaresos. And I'm happy to welcome my guest today, Jakub Chupinski. He is a Polish composer living in New York City. Although his music is often associated with electronics and interactive performances, he has written numerous pieces for traditional acoustic forces, varying in scope from solo miniatures to an hour-long oratorio for symphony orchestra and double choir. At the age of 18, he signed a contract with Sony Music Poland, and since then has been recording electronica-infused world music under the stage name Jakub Jacques. Jakub Chupinski's concert music has been commissioned by various institutions and ensembles, and his works have been performed literally around the world. Well, Jakub, it is indeed a pleasure to have you here.
Thank you. Hi.
Thanks very much for coming. Well, we will be listening to a large variety of your music between now and 12:30. Your music is extremely diverse, and we will be talking about that aspect of it a little bit later on. However, before we do that, share with us a bit about your exposure to music and your early training in your country of Poland.
So I started the usual way as a pianist. I started taking piano classes at the age of 5, and then I gradually started moving into composition. I was exposed to electronic music through training in this recording studio. So when I was a teenager, I was attending classes in the recording studio, and I got fascinated also by the electronic aspect of music.
Yeah, who were some of the early electronic composers you heard, electronic music composers, when you were younger?
I think I wasn't that much influenced by classical electronic music of like 50s, 60s. Obviously later I was greatly exposed to that music, but I think I was just fascinated by the pure concept. Not really, in the beginning it was not really about a particular composer, it was about possibilities. I always dreamt about, you know, creating any sound I want.
Yeah.
And obviously technology allows me to do that.
Right. So you came here, and now what about your training a little later on?
Later I studied in Krakow Academy of Music. And after I finished 5-year studies there, I decided to see some other parts of the world and see, you know, what it's like. So I just applied to a few schools in New York, and it just happened that I got accepted to Juilliard. So I came here a few years ago.
Right. Who have some of your teachers in composition been?
So in Krakow Academy of Music, for 5 years, it was Zbigniew Bujarski, amazing Polish composer.
Yeah.
On the last year of studies, I also had some classes with Krzysztof Penderecki, which was great because he also influenced me a lot. And when I moved to New York, it was Christopher Rouse, and I had a great time here.
Tell me a little bit about, because I mean, Penderecki is one of my Polish heroes. I remember my first exposure to any type of avant-garde music when I was young was his Trinity, which I think is one of the, if we want to look to me, in my opinion, one of the greatest work from that post-World War II avant-garde. I think that might be it. And what was he like as a teacher?
Well, at this point, I felt I was pretty much shaped as a composer. So it was more like we would go to his house and have coffee for a few hours.
Oh, that sounds nice.
It was, yeah, it didn't feel like class at all. But what is amazing about Penderecki, and also my main teacher is Zbigniew Bujarski, they were friends from early years, is that these composers were part of avant-garde movement during 60s and 70s, and they moved away from it. So Penderecki now is also a very controversial figure, not because his music is very inaccessible. It's quite opposite. His music sometimes sounds like 19th century or like film music. So some people who really liked him in the early 60s, now they sometimes say, no, it's too much.
You know, it's funny, Yaku, because you're mentioning talking about that, and that's kind of an interesting thing I think about when I think about the changes in style. I think of him, he's one of the first that might comes to my mind, and I believe, if I recall reading, he felt he had done what he had done with his technique up to that point, yeah, and he needed to move on. I know, like the Magnificat and some of the others, the Dies Irae and some of the other pieces. I mean, the kind of the way he experimentally treats the voices and yeah, all these things. And he just felt he needed to go to a different path. And there's nothing wrong with that.
I can actually tell you the story that illustrates that. One of the pieces I was writing at the time that I was still in Krakow, I brought this piece, it was almost finished, I showed him the score, but before he looked at the score, he asked me about the general concept. So I started, you know, talking a little bit about philosophy. It's more like a question without the answer, I want to experiment with this kind of form. And before he even looked at the score, he told me, you know what, but this sounds like too experimental. We've already done that, you know, to maybe make something more traditional. It was amazing to see this person who is a legend of avant-garde.
Yeah.
And suddenly he actually tries to tell his students, don't do it anymore. My professor is Zbigniew Bujarski, yeah, told me the same thing, that with Penderecki, when he was young, they were colleagues. So Zbigniew Bujarski had a piece that he shared with Penderecki, very avant-garde. Mm-hmm. And Penderecki looked through it and just caught one piece of melody that just was accidentally there, something that sounds like a melody. And he criticized him to his colleagues, said, look, everything is fine, but why do you put this little melody here? And now what happened after 20, 30 years, they both write in a very different style. They move away from avant-garde.
Yeah, I mean,
think it's beautiful.
I think so. And I think it also shows what composers are doing. And it also shows that the whole melodic style in which Penderecki, let's say, is writing is something that the audience, who is more traditional, though, can appreciate. And I think what part of the problem is, as we talked about a little bit off mic, was the post-World War II avant-garde. It made it difficult for audiences, you know, of more traditional music. I mean, I know I recently listened to Penderecki's recent horn concerto. It almost sounds like Richard Strauss in sections, yeah, you know. And I mean, an audience would love it, written in 2008 or something like that. So things are changing, and I think for the whole entire audience of music in there.
I think so. And what is important, that if people so well established are moving away from avant-garde, it gives us new generation composers, it's like a permission to also move away.
Yeah.
And the thing is that we're exposed to newer kinds of music, so we actually can, we don't have to go back to traditional music. We actually can try to find a new style.
Yeah, and I think what's great now too is that literally everything goes.
Yes.
Musically, and I think that makes our time right now, the 21st century, one of the most exciting, I think, for music, and that's just my personal opinion. Look, Yaqub, let's go now to some music, okay? We're going to talk plenty in the next couple of hours here. We're going to go to a very beautiful piece titled Kusho No. 3. This is for vibraphone, piano, two violins, viola, cello, and electronics. Why don't you take over and tell us about the work, when was it composed, and about the title?
It was composed as a purely acoustic chamber piece for the dance. It was a celebration of, it was a big anniversary.